We are back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS, 6:33 p.m. on a Wednesday evening. Thank you for joining us. Stagflation. Is it here already? Some are saying it is. Others say, well, not quite yet, but can the U.S. economy even avoid it at this point? Ed Batowski is an internationally recognized expert in the investment wealth management industry with over 22 years of experience in the financial services industry. You've seen him on television pretty much on all the major networks. He joins us now. Ed, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Well, it's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
So tell me, what is it? Are we experiencing stagflation right now, or is the steady yet modest job growth we're seeing indicating that we're not quite that bad yet?
Well, look, first of all, the answer is without any question, we are right in the middle of stagflation. And what everyone needs to know is stagflation is a period that is very, very difficult to get out of. And what it's represented by high unemployment, which we obviously have, no matter what metric you look at, we have high unemployment, and it's much higher than what the government says. Two, we have very slow economic growth. Well, hands down, we can see the GDP numbers, and we see slow economic growth and slowing, and it's getting slower and probably will continue to slow down over the next couple of quarters. And the one that people have a hard time with has to do with higher prices. And what everyone needs to know is that the government over the last 28 years has changed the way they calculated the cost of living in this country. So inflation, according to the government numbers, is mild but rising. But everybody knows that their cost of living has increased at least 5 to 8% over the last couple of years, and I mean year over year. Hmm. So we are right in the middle of stagflation. And just to, not to overwhelm you with all the information, but the problem with stagflation is that during the 1970s, the government raised interest rates to slow the economy down. Well, it's very difficult to raise interest rates right now because we have such a slow economic growth right now. We have such bad unemployment or such high numbers there. That's how you fix inflation. And if you lower interest rates, you know, that would be good. But we can't lower interest rates because they're already at zero.
Yeah, but the inflation that we're experiencing now, is it really as dramatic as what we saw in the 70s?
It's not that quick of a move. But I will tell you, and I'm about to release something in a couple of weeks, an alternative to what we get on those numbers. The smoking gun in our country is the misrepresentation and the biases of the CPI, and it has been devastating. And everyone listening right now knows for a fact that their cost of living didn't just go up 3% last year. I mean, taxes aren't included, food's not included, energy's not included. So we do absolutely have high and rising inflationary prices. There's no question about that.
Hmm. Well, what do you make of the fact that we did see such strong jobs numbers at the beginning of the year, and then things have clearly fallen off? But it does appear that at some points we're trying to kickstart things.
Well, I don't know how strong. I mean, you know, we were starting to move in the right direction. The unemployment number is a reflection of a fraction. And a fraction has a numerator and a denominator. And the problem that I have with that number, and if you really think about it, the numerator and the denominator changes every single month, meaning how many people are looking for work, how many jobs are available, how many people are working. And because that number changes all the time, it's very tough to compare one month or one quarter versus the other using that same statistic. The number I like to look at is how many people are actually working, and it's about 63%. And that number hasn't changed that much over the last couple of years. We have a very, very low group of people working today and a lot of people who aren't working.
Nice. Well, I'm talking to Ed Batowski, an internationally recognized expert in investment wealth management. You can find him online at edbatowski.com. Now, Ed, economists say stagflation can be caused by a supply shock like an oil shortage or an inappropriate macroeconomic policy like excessive growth in the money supply. So tell me, what do you think is behind the stagflation we're experiencing right now?
Well, look, the catalyst of it was a liquidity crisis. There's no question about it. So the shock to the system wasn't oil prices rising. It was a dramatic slowdown worldwide of economic activity. And to come out of that, we had opportunities to do it a little differently. We could have reduced interest rates, you know, very quickly, which we did. We could have reduced corporate taxes, could have reduced regulations, and that could have helped things. But I'll tell you, you know, regardless if it was President Obama and his policies, or whomever else. I mean, people can sit there and point fingers, but that's not the purpose of you know, really writing the article that I did on Fox Business website and talking about it. The point is that we have to make some dramatic changes, because if we don't, we're going to be mired in this thing for a very long time. I mean, we could very well be in a period of stagflation, which is devastating to all economic conditions, for the next 3-4 years. And we can't afford that in this country.
How independent are we, though? I mean, with Europe now potentially facing some very dark times, are we not tied into to their economy, to China and everyone else?
Yeah, and a great point, because the president's making comments right now that our economy is slowing down because of Europe. That is just flat out not true. However, that could become true very soon. And most of our companies do the growth in their businesses come from business outside of our borders, and the whole country and the whole world, is systemic. So anything that goes on in Europe has an absolute impact in China and Brazil and Russia and obviously the United States. And our S&P 500 companies get over 50% of the growth outside of our borders. So we're going to see a slowdown. We're going to see hiring slow down because of Europe. So I believe that is going to happen. I just don't think it has happened yet.
You know, Paul Krugman from the New York Times, he talks a lot about Europe. He says that the key there is to actually expand and spend at this point rather than pursue these austerity measures. What he says is going to only put them more in the hole. So when you look at that approach, is he wrong?
Yes.
In the sense of what? Because his position is that austerity measures in the past, especially as an economy slows down, have proven to only lengthen the depression that an economy may go through.
Yeah, what he's going back on is during the Great Depression, there was an argument that they should have just continued to print more and more money left and right. And, that was a time period where we weren't in a global economy like we are today. I believe Paul Krugman is completely just dead wrong. Austerity measures are what need to take place right now. We need to cut corporate taxes. We need to cut individual taxes to get the engine going, which is the economy. Now, we don't need to have more spending, which is inflationary. Right now, all the printing that goes on, let me make this very clear, that money does not go into the economy and help with jobs. That money is going to pay off the interest or pay interest on the debt of the money we've already borrowed from other countries. So none of that money is going in. That's what's different, and that's what's wrong with his position. I'd love to debate him. I'll take him on anywhere, anytime. I know he's a very smart man, but his policies are dead wrong for this country.
So what you're saying, ultimately, the only path right now to get out of this mess is to reduce taxes on businesses and our corporations and reduce regulations, and that is the path?
Well, I'm not going to say all across the board. So not all regulations are bad. I mean, we need to have some regulations. We need to have certain things. So I'm not going to make blanket statements. But the only way we're going to get out of this is get the economy going organically and naturally, not by artificially stimulating it with printing of money, which is going to come back to hyperinflation. I mean, mark my word, a year from right now, your prices, just to remain even with what you did last year, it's going to go up somewhere around 10%. I ran some numbers on Detroit the other day. We've been following this for over a year, year and a half, and we're going to publish this. But I can tell you right now that from 2011 to 2012, just to stay even with the top 500 items that people spend money on, you had to make it went up 11.4%. That's just to remain constant, and that's just the beginning of what we're going to start seeing in this country.
People
get a grasp on that.
What about those that don't see it quite as pessimistically? I mean, here in Michigan, we are seeing some, again, moderate job growth. The state government is now in a surplus. And we are seeing, as compared to the previous period, we are now seeing some growth in jobs every single month. Could it be argued that we're really not heading in a flat direction, that we're just beginning maybe now to pick up some steam?
Look, you can't say picking up steam. I mean, you see some moderate job growth. When you say in the public sector, to me, that's not what's going to get this country out of this. The public sector has never helped the economy grow. It's the private sector. I'm happy because there's not a place that I'm more affectionate towards these days and have more empathy towards than the state of Michigan. And I hope everyone goes there. I might even vacation there this summer.
But the public sector is where we're seeing less and less jobs, right? It's the private sector where the jobs are coming in now.
Right. Well, you just said that you're seeing some public sector job growth.
The fact that we're seeing month over month job growth in the country, I mean, is that not indicating that we're moving in the right direction? Clearly, in Washington, they're not able to pass any kind of legislation to pursue any clear policies. But in terms of the economic conditions, are they not improving?
No, they're not. They're actually getting much worse. And this little job growth are there. You know, when you hear, well, we got 70,000 jobs and so on, that's only showing you the net new jobs. But, you know, that's just not even close. We have to get over 250,000 jobs, you know, for consecutive months before we start making a dent in this. It's a much bigger thing than just the number being released, and it makes for boring radio, but I can tell you that this moderate job growth, and I'm happy some people are getting jobs, but when you start really looking at these numbers, we're not making a dent in what we have, and with the number of people out of work for as long as they've been out of work, this has become a chronic problem that is going to be very difficult to reverse. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer. I don't want to be the negative guy out there. I think there's things we can do, but I also think we have to be transparent and honest with people and let them know what is happening and why it's happening and what we can do as a country, and we need to start reflecting on things that we can do other than just raising taxes, because that won't do anything at all.
Let me ask you this, though, because one thing we're seeing is that nothing is getting done. In Washington, obviously, the two sides are not coming together to pass any kind of meaningful legislation. What is going to happen if no action, as we're seeing now, continues to be taken over the next several years, whoever becomes president?
Well, I mean, look, we all know, just turn on your television set and look at Greece, Spain, Portugal, and we say it, and people just don't believe it. Well, you better start believing it, because this country, you know, 40% of what we spend, we borrow from outside our country. Just go on the internet and look up our U.S. debt. Go to the U.S. Treasury Department and look up where our debt is and how much of it is. I mean, 10% of our debt is from China. You look at other countries, and you'll see a lot of countries are supporting us. And a lot of the things that we use and do every day are not because of anything in this country. It's because we borrow money, and these countries are borrowing money, lending us money, and making less than 1% of 1%. How long are they going to keep doing that? And if they stop, watch the inflation number. I mean, people just don't have a grasp of how precarious things are.
I see, but you're saying that at this point we're deep enough where whatever action is taken, we probably are not going to be able to avoid some very flat and I guess stagflationary times for the next several years at least.
We're in stagflation. I'm concerned about a very severe recession. And again, my goodness, believe me, if anyone's listening or whoever is listening, I sound like a Debbie Downer. I've become this person because I'm very in touch with what's happening, and everyone should learn more about this. I believe we're going into a very deep recession. I don't think it's avoidable given everything that's out there. I don't think we can just sit there and wish and tell everybody things are better and things are getting better, because they aren't. And Europe is going to be an impact here, and we're going to start seeing inflationary pressures, and people need to get ready for this.
I see. A recession worse than what we saw in 2008.
Well, my friend Peter Schiff, who makes me look like a happy guy, he believes that as well. So I don't want this to happen, but we did not get our house in order. We've got to get our budget under control. We've got to get our spending under control. And in my mind, you know, we're already past the point of avoiding a very deep recession. There's going to be things we have to do. We all got to get out and work a lot harder and realize that we're in this for a long time.
Ed Batowski. You can find him at edbatowski.com. Ed, thank you very much for joining us here on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
Hope to talk again soon. We will be right back to talk about organ donations. ABC's Good Morning America co-host Robin Roberts just announced that she has a bone marrow cancer. She luckily has a match, her own sister, but how difficult is it to find a good match when you're in need of an organ? We'll find out next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.